The next, the board will come back to order. The next item on the agenda is consideration of Aurora Public Schools MOU concerning their accountability status. Commissioner?
Thank you. I'm going to turn this over. I believe the Superintendent Rico Munn, are you going to make the presentation right off the bat or staff?
Yes, Commissioner.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and turn it to the Superintendent. As you recall, they were here 2 months ago talking about their MOU and have been working with staff on this matter leading up to approval possibly today or in August. So with that, I'll turn it to you.
Thank you very much. And let me first defer to the President of our Board, Dr. Julie Marie Shepherd, who's joining me today.
Good morning, Chairwoman Neal, Commissioner Hammond, and State Board of Education members. My name is Julie Marie Shepherd, and I'm the current president of the Aurora Public Schools Board of Education. I'd like to just take a moment and introduce my colleague, Barbara Gamrick, also a board member in Aurora. We're also joined today by several members of our leadership team. Here at the table, Dr. Lisa Esparziga, our Chief Accountability and Research Officer. Dr. Duran, George Duran, our Chief Communications Officer, and Diane Lewis on the communications team. I believe that's all. It's here from APS, but I want to start by thanking you for giving us some time on your agenda to come back today. As Commissioner Hammond said, we did a presentation to you all in April, foreshadowing the work that describing the work that we had been engaged in and foreshadowing the work that we hope to move forward on starting this summer. At the Aurora Public Schools board meeting on May 2nd, the board, after significant thoughts, community engagement, direction, research from Superintendent Munn and his team, the board gave formal direction to Superintendent Munn in the form of a unanimous vote for Superintendent Munn to pursue innovation status, specifically for Aurora Central High School, but then with the understanding that we will be looking at and exploring the potential of an innovation zone to include feeder schools, as we talked about last time. So I think with that, I'll turn it back over to Superintendent Munn.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you again, and thank you all for having us here. I can only assume, Mr. Durham, that the sweatbox atmosphere was your idea. We appreciate you having us here. As you know, I've had some experience on the other side of the desk, and one of my frustrations when I sat in those chairs was that it seemed at times that the legislature and the federal government gave me just enough authority to be an irritation. I found that frustrating at times. What we believe and what we hope we have done here is we've created a process that asks you and gives you the opportunity to work proactively with us and our community at really doing the difficult work of school turnaround. As you know, we engaged in this process officially starting in November of last year when we were notified that Central High School would be entering into its fifth year on the state accountability clock. When we started these conversations, the law required that we move through a process. As you know, the law changed. And we are no longer in a space where we have to be doing the work that we're doing. But early on in the process, the board made the decision that we needed to do the work to engage in turning around and changing, restructuring Aurora Central High School because that work needed to be done, not because of the requirements of you or of the legislature or of anybody else. And we've heard very strongly from the community that that's the case. We've engaged in a process over the last 7 to 8 months of community forums and a meeting with experts. We had a town hall meeting just 2 weeks ago. We had over 100 parents and community members turn out to talk about the future of Aurora Central. And the board heard very loud and clear that the community believes that change needs to happen there, and they believe that change needs to, that process needs to start now, that we need to engage in that process now. And we believe that as well. We've engaged over the last several months of getting on planes, flying around the country, and seeing school turnaround work in some successful places. We partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and had them bring a number of experts in from around the country, from New York, Chicago, Massachusetts, Tennessee, California, to work with us and sit with us and talk about what were our realistic options for the turnaround process of a 2,000-person-plus comprehensive high school, which is not the usual situation. We've done in-depth analysis on the likely patterns that would happen depending on different formats and structures if we implemented them into what is a traditional neighborhood school. We've done a lot of background work, and as we started to engage with CDE and with the department around what that process would look like as it relates to 163, it became very clear that we needed to start sooner rather than later engaging the department and engaging you in a proactive way at seeing how we might work through this process. Since no process existed, we created one. And we are here coming to you at the culmination of just phase one of that process. And what we are asking is that you come alongside us, come alongside our community, come alongside our students, and recognizing that we need to start that work now on a path where we have some sense of stability, where we have some sense of understanding of what that work is collectively as we go through that hard work of school design. So presented in front of you are a couple of documents, which I believe were in your materials. They are, one, an MOU, which we crafted to really articulate the outline of what we're trying to do, of that work of trying to get our community on board, get you on board with the idea that we believe that innovation status for Aurora Central High School is the best method for turnaround, but not just innovation status, doing that within an innovation zone, which is authorized by the 2008 Innovation Schools Act. There are very few of those in the state. Actually, only two exist, Kiowa County and Florence, I believe. And so we are recommending that we move forward and do the work of becoming the third in the state to do that. I believe Pueblo may be working on something similar as well, but only two currently exist. We believe that the challenges that Aurora Central face are not just a central problem. They're challenges that really address a community of schools and the community in general and some of the challenges that we have in that community. And by coming together and working together on addressing those challenges, creating a structure to do that, we can start dealing with not just the challenges at Aurora Central, but also some of the schools that are either similarly situated or also in a feeder pattern that are also on the state's accountability clock, but also schools that we consider in need of particular attention and help in addressing some of those challenges. So you have that MOU. It's a very short MOU, which kind of articulates that. The board has signed off on that, as you heard from President Shepherd, in a unanimous vote on June 2nd. We are formally asking that this board also sign off on that today. I recognize that the commissioner and the department may not yet be in a position to make that recommendation to you. Nevertheless, that is what we are asking of you, because we believe that we need to start that work today. We need to start all that those processes today moving ahead. Attached to the MOU are two documents. One is entitled Implementation Plan Action Zones, and the other one is Action Zone 1 Design Plan. And these are shaping documents. The implementation plan really came out of our strategic plan process, because we believe the work that we're doing at Central shouldn't be divorced from our strategic plan. It should be part and parcel of the work that we're doing to build capacity in the district. When I came to the district on July of 2013, one of the charges from the board was to really engage aggressively and proactively with dealing with some of our schools that were in priority improvement and turnaround status. So we have implemented a turnaround plan for the district. We've also, over the last year, implemented a new strategic plan, which encompasses some of that work. So flowing out of that strategic plan are a variety of implementation plans for some of that work, and this is part of that work, implementing a series of innovation zones across the district, with this being the first one, and this one really focusing around the work at Central. And then the second plan, the design plan, as you know, the innovation status requires that you really get buy-in from your community, that you get buy-in from a community of parents, buy-in from a community of teachers, from administrators, from students. And so we are not here presenting a finalized plan to you. We are here presenting a design plan, how we will go about that process, how we will go about doing that work and engaging our community in that process, working with community groups, working with staff, working with our teachers union, working with anybody who wants to roll up their sleeves and do the hard work of school turnaround in our district. And ultimately, that has to be then presented to our local Board of Education for its approval. If approved at that stage, it then has to come back to you for approval. So we are not asking today for that final approval of what that plan is. You will have that opportunity again, we hope, in the spring of 2016. But what we are asking for is your understanding, your recognition that we are engaging in this work, and then that work addresses and satisfies what your responsibilities might be under 163 to make sure that we engage in one of the statutory structures specified under the law. As you recall, there are five options underneath 163. One is school closure. Two is conversion to an EMO, educational management organization. Three is conversion to a charter. Four is innovation status. And then five is the very helpful status of other. We have done the due diligence to pursue all of those, including other.
That's the category where we could irritate you.
Well, that is certainly the category with the least definition for us. And what we don't want to do, and what our community doesn't want to do, is start doing this very hard work, this very hard community-building grassroots work, and then show up a year and a half later, and have the board say, we hadn't heard about this, you know, we have no idea what's going on, we want to, you know, stop this work and have you do something completely different. Certainly you wouldn't do that, Sherman. But, you know, the vagaries of time and situations, we want to just make sure we're all on the same page about what's happening going forward.
Can we ask questions, Madam Chair? Can we ask questions? Mm-hmm. So you're probably aware we got a lot of letters from students.
Yes.
And one of the things that stood out to me in those letters is violence, all the way down to bad behavior and smelly restrooms. And I'm wondering, I didn't really see anything in your plan. I confess I didn't read it in detail, but how do you plan to deal with that, and what kind of security and other preventions do you have right now in order to deal with those issues?
Sherman Hill. And certainly, and we think it's wonderful that students are reaching out and expressing their concerns and interest to you. We encourage that. We encourage that at every level. We're also recognizing you're hearing from about 34 of 2,300 students.
Right, I understand that.
And so there's a lot of different experiences, and they're all valid, and we want to hear all those. You are not being presented with a final design plan, right? That is not what's in front of you. What's in front of you is a process to work with the community to address some of those concerns. I think if you look at the research across the country, that climate and culture are, having a strong climate and culture are the cornerstone of a successful school. We recognize that. Any plan that we put together has to have that strong climate and culture. What we have recommended is a process which really engages the community in building that and saying, okay, we need you to come in. We need you to partner with us and recognize what this climate and culture needs to be, how we're going to maintain that, and not just within Central, but across a community of schools, so that when a child moves from elementary school to middle school or to a K-8 into Central, they have had a level of consistency with the climate and culture across the zone, a level of consistency with how they are understood as individual learners, and a consistency with how we are approaching them from an educational standpoint. We have an incredibly diverse community, not just in APS, but within this particular area. We had a number of community engagement sessions. Each of those was translated into five different languages just to have those community engagement meetings. But we have no less than 120 languages spoken at Aurora Central in that many communities and cultures. And so that hard work of identifying and recognizing the needs of each of those students, knowing those students, is going to be the bedrock of how we build climate and culture.
Yeah, I would just as a follow-up, I would say, obviously, among all your other challenges, the diverse community, the number of students that you have, refugee students who are first-time English language learners, creates a whole nother layer on top. So, you have a lot of challenges. I'm just interested in what you can do to keep the violence and those issues down. And like you said, I know we only got them from 30 students, but right. I would just say that I'd certainly like to see more on that in the final product.
Sure. And thank you, Chairman. And you will note, and I don't know that these numbers have gotten to you yet, but we've had a dramatic decrease in reported discipline issues and discipline concerns across the district, but also in Central over the last year. Now, we are still kind of understanding those stories and understanding those numbers. We like that trend. And we have engaged at a very deep level in those concerns and those issues. We'll continue to do that going into next year, which is a planning year, still a transitional year. But we understand that those are concerns that we need to have at the forefront.
Right. Madam Chair, have you finished your presentation?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Because I wanted to be sure that we give you plenty of time before we opened it up to questions. Val?
Yes.
Val, you need
back
to put
again.
Your mic down.
Oh, yes. I want to address the ESL question, or children who have English as a second language, because I did read that there were students who felt that they weren't getting the content. And I think too often we think that because they're English learners, English language learners, that they're not up to snuff on content. And I just want to say that there are strategies in which you might look into in teaching content, strategies that teach content and language at the same time, so that you're at target with students and their development, intellectual development. So, and I know many times people think that you're going to teach English, just English, the English language, before you can, get content, but they merge. I mean, you can do that together, and there's lots of strategies that can show that. I don't know why. I guess I was thinking in other respects where students... I work for the Office of Civil Rights, and where I went to schools and students, talked about content. They were second language learners, and usually it was, that issue where they weren't learning content at the same time that they were learning language.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you.
Angelica?
Jane? I have some... surface memory and knowledge about your prior and ongoing work with community members and groups and organizations and civic interest. Are there...
Have you had a chance as part of the... It's on. Am I better?
There
yeah.
you are. Oh,
there you are.
Hello. Sorry. Current, as a result of the new thinking and the new planning and the new presentation, so to speak, for your community... Is part of your communication with community organizations, groups, are there some civic culture building, culture training? I'm sure you're talking about professional development across the board for staff, but also mm-hmm. for parents in the community about acculturization for growth. I'm just curious if you have already got in mind, you don't have to list them. But if there are organizations already in place that are on board, and they're contributing to the ideas and the outreach.
Sure. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, let me highlight three things for you that we are very proud of. One, in Aurora Central itself, there are, I believe, more than 40 community organizations that have community partnerships, or really just created in the last year to year and a half, working with students now. With all those organizations, there are some coordination challenges, and I'm not here to tell you mm-hmm. that we've got all that worked out perfectly. But that's a good start. Literally sharing the parking lot with Aurora Central is the new Aurora Welcome Center, which had its grand opening Saturday. And what that is we came together with the City of Aurora and a number of community groups, the Aurora Human Rights Center, Rights for All People, the Denver Foundation, and there's a long list of community groups, where we found a way at not insubstantial cost to the district to create space in one of our buildings, one of our old administration buildings. So more than half of the building is now housing community organizations, particularly focused on refugee and immigrant families, so that we can have immediate access, because it's connected to our centralized admissions. Families come into centralized admissions on one door, they are identified, what needs they might have, and they can literally walk down the hallway to start working with those community groups in that work. that group that works in its infancy, like said, grand opening Saturday. But we have partnered with these organizations around how do we do that work. And then thirdly, we started this year with working with the Metro Center out of New York City around our professional development across the district and our equity work, led by Dr. Pedro Noguera and Dr. Yemi Stembridge, at really kind of developing that work and digging into our schools and our leaders around our equity training and recognizing what that level of engagement means in getting to know our learners. That went so well for us that we've actually partnered with Cherry Creek going into next year. We have, I think the colloquialism would be, we've stolen Dr. Stembridge and literally moved him to Colorado to work with our two districts to work on a much deeper level around that equity work over the next year.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't. Who was it that sent him to Colorado?
He was affiliated with the Metro Center. It's out of the Steinhardt School of NYU.
It's great. Yes. Good news.
That's a powerful combination of nationally known and really well-respected experts in this area. Thank you. And I guess the last would be the state shares the dilemma of teacher recruitment enough. We're all a long way from having the proper equity balance of diversity among the teaching staff. Are you feeling that as well overall, and looking forward to having this work going on and developing as people watch that would be an attracting feature for folks to come to Aurora? I would think that would be a highlight of your goals for that. So
Madam Chair, and certainly just in the sense of both overall teacher retention and recruitment, then also diversifying our staff, we have the same challenges that the state sees. Yeah. But we are trying to address that through a number of mechanisms. As you might imagine, the current instability at Central also creates its own challenge, which is another reason we would ask you to help us create some sense of stability so that we have a clear plan moving ahead. But that aside, we are looking at and implementing different opportunities at each school. You know, there was a research study done in 2008 which focused around the Aurora Public Schools around what recruits and retains teachers. We've adopted some of the strategies from that work, and we continue to go back to work with our union and other folks to get a better sense of why teachers leave or what the conditions might be like. We have recognized that the number one issue that pops out on that work and other work done by the organizations is leadership. We have completely retooled how we attract, retain, and the work we do to develop our school leaders, and really just put that in place over the last 6 months. We recognize that, in general, working conditions are like anywhere else, except apparently CDE. One of the things that really impacts how people stay in an environment, work in an environment. And so we are looking at that, as I mentioned earlier, trying to address some of our climate and culture issues and some of this equity work across the district. We also recognize that pay is an issue that has an impact on teachers' retention and recruitment. We've implemented some unique pay structures as it relates to our turnaround work. We continue to experiment with some of that work and try to have productive conversations with our friends in the union about how to implement some of those things and how to create some of those things. And so at some of our turnaround schools, we have targeted recruitment and retention bonuses and also created specific turnaround teams with paid incentives around some of that work in some of those schools. So we are being very creative in that work, and we're trying to figure out the best way to do that. And all we can do then is let people know and try to build it and see if they'll come.
Thank you.
Thank you. I did read your plan, process plan, and have no particular concerns about it, except to ask you whether you have or will do some analysis of simply the root causes in this particular zone. It looks to me, if I got my information correctly, it doesn't look like the elementary schools or the middle schools are on turnaround. So the kids are clipping along at some fairly acceptable level, and then something happens. And it would seem to me that a real deep analysis is about kids moving too much? Is it about the, I mean, have you done that kind of analysis, or do you plan to do that kind of analysis to make sure that these steps that you're looking at are in fact recognizing where you've been so you don't get the same place again?
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask Dr. Scarsinger to respond to some of that work in particular.
Thanks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So over the course of the last 5 years with Aurora Central, we have done numerous types of processes to look at root cause, including having external entities come in to look at the school with us. RMC Corporation, which is well known, they're a group that does the Broad reviews for all districts in, across the nation. They've been in the site three times in the last 3 years, and they have substantiated the root causes that, that we know. One of them is actually the schools that feed into it, that the students are coming in very low proficiency levels. And so when you're looking at Paris, when you're looking at North, all of the feeders within this zone actually start out low proficiency. What happens is the growth of those schools, the growth data, catapults their ratings up okay. to performance. But we have tracked very closely that feeder pattern, so it isn't just Central. But then certainly once they get to Central, there's the added challenges. And so it is.
Okay. I appreciate that, because I think that'll help you. So congrats and good luck. I do believe that this is what innovation legislation did intend, was for us to figure out ways to move the dial. I hope you'll be very transparent, because I expect you to have great success and maybe be a model for some other districts that are actually experiencing. I mean, I recognize that every school is different and every zone might be different, but there probably are some parts of this work that you're going to do that are going to have some common themes that will be helpful to other schools that are in this position. Thank you.
This is maybe a question for the CDE staff or the commissioner, but what are the implications for granting innovation status as far as the authority of the board in the future for Central High School?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
So I think it's a great question, Dr. Shuffle. One of the things that they would need to do as they more formalize their plan for this school is come back with a formal innovation plan that follows the process that's outlined in statute. One of the things that we've prepared, and you'll see it in the recommended motion from staff today, is a general statement of support of the work that Aurora has been focused on specific to Aurora Central High School. I did want to notate that what Superintendent Munn is requesting is formal approval of the MOU that is presented in your packet as well. The reason why staff isn't ready to recommend formal approval of that MOU yet is we just haven't had a chance to work through it with the AG's office. Also, this is the first time that we would be recommending that the State Board enter into this type of an agreement with the school district around the five-year clock. And we want to take into consideration the State Review Panel's recommendations, which we just received recently. We're working on those. And then a formal recommendation from the commissioner that also would come to the State Board. We think we can have all those pieces, staff can have all those pieces ready for the State Board at the August meeting. And that's why we put the recommended motion to the State Board in the packet that's there today. Of course, you have the discretion to formally approve the MOU that Superintendent Munn is requesting. But again, staff just wasn't ready to formally recommend that MOU yet. We just have not got it through all the pieces of the process.
Very good. Yes.
So the school is on the five-year clock, is that right? And so does this change that, or start the clock over? What is the implication for the five-year clock?
Chair? So, again, that's one of the pieces that staff would like to kind of bring to you at the August meeting formally, is the implications to the five-year clock, the implications to what that means. And part of that is also to make sure that Aurora is protected, that they have the right type of language in there that gives them the signal to do the work that they want to do. Generally, the staff is in pretty good agreement with the direction that Aurora is wanting to go. There's not a point of conflict here. It's just working out those types of details that show that this is in place, this is what's available to the State Board, this is what's available to Aurora. And I think the main thing, Superintendent Munn, if I understand what he's requesting correctly, is that they don't want to head down a path of which is a lot of hard work that's ahead of them, with this, specifically with this school, and then have the state board in a year change direction on them after they've invested so much time and energy on that specific path. And so they're looking for some protection to support the work that they want to do. And I understand Superintendent Munn's urgency as well. They want to get started this summer. They want to get some things going. I think they want to spend some money. They want to start this work, and we applaud that because there is a sense of urgency specifically with this school and with this feeder zone that we want to help support Aurora with. But at the same time, as this is the first time the state board's been entered into this type of an agreement, we also just want to make sure that we've done our due diligence and that we really have presented you a formal kind of recommendation that meets the requirements under Senate Bill 163. So that's where we're at as a staff, and that's why there's a little bit of a delay there. But again, the board has the discretion to approve this memorandum of understanding with Aurora today if that's their choice.
Thank you. I was just going to. We have been talking about the 5-year plan and the clock and all this for 5 years. Now we're there. You can understand why we don't want to move ahead without making sure that everything is right. That, as Dr. Owen says, you're not going to come back next year and have us say, "What are you doing?" We did not know about that. So I really appreciate your, position and your plans and such depth.
So my follow-up is just that, big picture on the 5-year clock, the state board has various options, right? And so this is essentially saying the district is going on the offense, in a sense, to say this is our plan, and then asking the board to conceptually buy into it today and then to look at the details of the MOU potentially in August, right? Well, my question is, has there been parent input? I don't know. I've heard a lot of input on the school and a lot of concern, and I was reading the letters, of course, and what do parents want? Before we conceptually, are we ready to conceptually agree to it? Have we gotten enough input from the community to say what do they want? There's just huge concerns about safety, as you surfaced, and education, and just a host of issues. Has there been enough input? I haven't heard it necessarily from the community saying here's what we want for this school.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
So we have had a number of community engagement processes and systems in place to get to this point. But to get to the next point, to actually present an innovation plan to you, the law dictates how we go through and make sure we get community and parent engagement, and that we can't even present a plan to you unless we can demonstrate there is that level of community support. So we are not asking you to jump that or skip any of that. All we're asking you to is acknowledge, as you said, some of that preliminary work to move forward, recognizing that a lot of those processes are yet to come and will come to address some of those specific pieces. I think that's one of the greatest challenges that we've had in talking with the community and our local board even, and also now talking to you, is that a lot of people are saying that's great, but what's the actual design look like? What's the actual plan look like? And what we've been saying is recognize that what we are saying is we want to start a process. We want to start a community engagement process. We want to start a design process that answers those questions. But we don't want to start down that path without people being on the same page about what path we're going down.
So I'm just confused about why you'd need the conceptual agreement of the board to do that, since you have to do that anyway. I guess I'm confused about what direction we're kind of conceptually agreeing to.
Sure. Madam Chair, yes. As a matter of law, we don't need that.
Right.
We can do this work, and we believe we need to do this work. The challenge, of course, is if we spend a year and a half doing that work and show up and the board says, well, we want you to go back and explore converting the school to a charter. Mm-hmm. If that's the board's position, we'd rather know that now than after having done all that work and getting the community buy-in around a particular plan. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Steve?
Is there any further discussion? Steve?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Superintendent, we have a draft of an MOU for Aurora Central. What's the term of this agreement? Can you tell me? I don't see a start and end date on it. Am I just not reading it thoroughly?
Yeah, it's not specified as a term because it's kind of operative when you look at the dynamics of it. Right? This is based on a premise of the State Board having jurisdiction based upon Aurora Central's time on the clock. Right? If Aurora Central improves between now and the time when we come forward and it moves off of the accountability clock, the State Board no longer has jurisdiction just by operation of law. But if it maintains its position, then the operation of 163 kind of locks in that term to a certain degree because we will hit year five. Next year would be a hold harmless year, but we would, by operation of law, hit year five that following year. And then the State Board's jurisdiction is determined by the existing statutory framework.
So does this in any way foreclose, let's presume that the results, things don't get better, that there's not significant improvement. Does the fact we enter into an agreement like this foreclose any options that we might otherwise have under the law?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
You know, certainly Mr. Dill can advise you on that. My understanding is that it would not.
Yes.
Forgive the contortions. Actually, that question and Dr. Sheffel's initial question are two of the areas that I was hoping we would have time to work on between now and August. What's the term of this? What effect does it have on the board's options? Should they put this in effect? And after a period of years, whatever is agreed on, things fail to be turned around.
I was just looking at the one document. Sorry. The central MOU draft, and it talks about Appendix A, Exhibit A. Is Exhibit A somewhere? Did we get that?
We submitted those. I don't know if you have them.
The APS implementation plan summary, I don't know. I don't think I see it. I'm just wondering, you know, if we're going to vote for conceptual agreement to what you're doing, I guess I need to make sure I have enough detail to speak intelligently. I don't see Exhibit A.
Yeah, Exhibit A and B are referred to.
Attached as Exhibit B and Exhibit A.
Do we have those? Is he or someone?
Are they not attached to the agenda?
All I received were the implementation plan, action zone, and then the central MOU draft. Yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yes.
Oh, that is Exhibit A. Okay.
Jane?
Thank you. Kind of back to the... term, in quote term, the MOU and so forth. This is not to the point where down the road, let's say a year or so, maybe not even that much, probably, you will still need to have the go ahead from your board, correct? Right. So in the event that we authorize or we conceptually endorse and your concept work today or soon, whenever, and you go forth and you get started, what the community, what your community knows and what your board is leading by right now is still involves a final board approval and vote on what will become your full innovation plan. So we're not necessarily by supporting the concept and giving our happy wishes and supportive wishes for the plan in its development. We are not limiting the authority of your board. We're not doing anything that should curtail, and it should not curtail community involvement in the final communication about your planned plan, and then their involvement in the approval process as well. So what we're doing is, but our question is, do we just in the sense of only, talk about an endorsement of a concept today,
versus are we doing something that really is semi-legal here, document-wise? And I think that's the decision we have to make. And Dr. Owen's recommendation or statement that the department and the school district and our attorneys and others involved in this haven't really had a chance to get down into the details of what that memo or MOU would contain, because that's kind of like a contract. So if we're talking in terms of contract versus a statement of support for good work moving forward, that's a different thing. So what we have to do today, if I'm correct, is we have to make the decision, are we endorsing concept or are we going to go ahead now and talk about a more formal endorsement? But I'm not sure that according to the law, the Innovation Act, or 163 for that matter, whether this board can actually do that now, whether we have the authority to do that, because your local board should be the one, according to current law, that approves the plan first.
So,
Dr. Owen?
Madam Chair, and I think if Superintendent Munn maybe wants to give his perspective, I think you phrased the two questions right. So from staff's perspective, what's presented on the agenda today is an endorsement conceptually of the work that Aurora is doing. Okay, so it's not officially voting on the MOU that has been presented, draft MOU that's been presented in your packet. I think what Superintendent Munn would like is, because of a sense of urgency, and he can speak to this himself, but he would like to get that MOU approved now and get going on the work that they want to do in Aurora. What we've said is that staff's not ready to prepare a formal recommendation to the state board today to sign off on that MOU, that we feel like there's more work that needs to be done with the Attorney General's office, with Aurora, around dates, timelines, not only for the state board's protection, but for Aurora's protection as well. So we feel like we can get that done and come back in August and be prepared with a recommendation, but that's why we presented the endorsed recommendation that's in the packet today, which is more of a conceptual support to Aurora Public Schools that they're heading in the right direction. You are right that the innovation process, and I thought maybe this would help some of the board members that were here when we went through a little bit of a similar topic with Pueblo City Schools. Pueblo City Schools had a presentation to state board around the clock about some of their schools. What they decided to do was go ahead and convert two, I think maybe three of their schools to innovation schools, and they went ahead, just went through that process, and you voted on those, I think, last spring.
Mm-hmm.
And they got approved. What they didn't do, which Aurora's asking you to do now, is to kind of endorse that in advance. They felt like, I think, they had enough time to work through the innovation plans and get that work going and make enough progress, but they also wanted to pick one of the pathways that were available under 163. So that's why Pueblo did that, was in advance of the state board taking action on it. What Aurora has done, and I think it's a unique perspective, is that they want to do the same thing, but they also want to have some protection that they're heading down a path that the state board would support, that would not keep them, you know, allow them to do a year's worth of work or 2 years' worth of work, and then all of a sudden have a direction change and be told to convert the school to a charter school or something to that effect, one of the other options available under 163. I think Mr. Durham's point and his question is a good one, too, and it's one of the things that staff's working and will have in recommendation. What are some benchmarks for the first year for success that the state board would like to see? What are some benchmarks in the second year? So that if progress isn't being made, there's some protection for the state board to say, we've tried this, you've had a year or two, you're not making your markers, and so we might pick a different pathway for you. And I think that's a legitimate question for the state board to be asking. So those are the things that will come out in the recommendation to the state board in August. Again, that's just why we're not prepared to formally recommend this today.
And so what is it you would like us to do today exactly, Dr. Munn?
So, Madam Chair, just in the broadest sense, and pardon the terminology, what we are seeking is a gentleman's agreement, right? That we're going down a certain path, and we'd like to know that we've got some level of partnership and support with that. You know, because of what we understand and perceive this MOU to be, we're not here saying this it needs to be in this exact format or this exact frame. The issues, I think, and it's fair to say that Dr. Owens and Mr. Dill are talking about, from our perspective, those are 163 issues. Those are broader issues around how the department needs to work and how the state law will actually interact. From our perspective, those just aren't Aurora issues.
But our agreement, that would give you basically the ability to begin to work on this right away without having to say, well, we have to wait till August to find out if they're going to agree or not.
We're going to start that work no matter what. But we'd like to have a sense of settledness and stability as we talk to and start attracting teachers to the school and start attracting community members, saying that we have worked with the state, the state understands the path that we're on. Let's get together. Let's roll up our sleeves now and get the work done.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Madam Chair.
Steve, did you have?
Just go ahead. I'll let me wait for
Cam.
Cam.
I'm not sure how to say this. You're going to go ahead with this anyway, right? Is that what you just said? And I guess my concern is this feels unusual. And I do have some concerns about what it means for other schools and districts on the clock and what it means for our role.
Important.
Ahead of the time that they actually come before us and we have those hard decisions to make. So while, and then there's the issue of local control, I do think that this is a local district decision, and that is where that decision should be made. Now, I personally might say, great idea. I'm just not sure that it's appropriate for the board to have a vote.
Yes.
On this at this time.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking
if
August?
We do,
are you thinking about August or are you?
Well, I'm talking about now, about having any kind of a vote on their MOU or any of this. I appreciate hearing about it.
Waiting until August when we hear more from staff.
When they actually ask us for innovation status, right?
That's
we
a
vote
year,
on that.
That's a year away.
That's not happening.
Well, that's my assumption is that we would have a vote when they actually present it to us.
Right. In the meantime,
how do we justify a vote before a vote?
Right.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just concerned that it's unusual and may tie our hands later.
I don't think it will tie our hands. That's right. I mean, they're asking us for a gentleman's agreement that we approve of what they're doing and hope and wish them success us to say don't do anything to me is just reprehensible. We've got this 5-year clock but don't do anything about it until we make up our mind what we want you to do.
Madam Chair, that's
rather strange. Yeah.
That's actually a false dichotomy.
I'm sorry about the false dichotomy.
No, I don't mean that I would say to them either I approve, go ahead, or don't do it.
You said you are not comfortable approving.
Right, and I don't think they need our approval right now to move forward.
Well, I don't think
do they?
And I'm sorry, Doctor. I do not mean to put any words into your mouth. I don't think they have a great deal of confidence that a couple of months down the road or something, we might not be jumping saying, well, we want you to do something else. And I, you don't have to respond to that at all. Angelica?
I just think this points out Pam and everybody else, the concern that everyone has, not only on this side of the table, but throughout the state, about approaching the clock and how are we really going to ensure that kids' education is improved for those districts that aren't there. And what we're hearing from some, I think, what we're hearing from some districts such as Aurora is, well, we're thinking about this too. We're worried about it. Mm-hmm. And rather than having you come in and do it to us, we're here to say here are some things that we plan to do. It's sort of a sequential thing. I would agree with you, Pam, that I'm not sure we need to vote on anything today, but certainly by August, after they've done some of the stuff that's in their program, I think they want whether it's a gentleman's agreement or a resolution that says that we want to give them a chance to seek innovation status next year. To Steve's point, we probably should not just grant innovation status
without any kind of expectations, without any kind of a schedule, without any, we should not give up our responsibility. Some people would call it power, but I don't think it's power. I think it's a responsibility that we have to the kids in Aurora to ensure that what you're hoping will happen actually starts happening. So it's a sort of a sequential thing.
Let's not drag this out forever. We're kind of repeating ourselves, and I think, and let's go quickly down the roll if somebody has one last comment, because we're not, you know, we're not helping by continuing to.
Deb's ready.
I know Deb's arm is up.
I'm trying to help.
I can see. Deb.
Anyway, I just appreciate the presentation. It's great that you're thinking about it. My concern is I do feel uncomfortable having a gentleman's agreement because I think it you want to make sure it's authentic and that you know enough about what's going to happen to feel good about it. I guess I just don't. I don't think I will in August either. I mean, I know that this high school has massive problems, and I've got a lot of input on it, and I think that I would want to know that parents were on board with what you're doing and that the community is and that it really is going to, you know, deeply address the intrinsic problems of safety, of educational quality, and so forth. And I would take seriously a gentleman's agreement. I'd want to be true to my word, and I feel like I can't because I don't have enough information. So I appreciate you presenting to us, and I'm glad you're working on it, and you should be. But I certainly don't feel comfortable.
Val, do you have another comment?
Yes. I'd like to hear from the board and from...
What board? This board?
Their board. Yes. Well, I'd like to.
No, I want to.
And from teachers and from parents.
Okay, later, but
on this
you
plan.
Don't mean right now.
No, not right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
So,
yeah.
Parents, board.
Just quickly, I just want you to know that I applaud your taking action on behalf of your district and this Aurora Central High School. So, you have my personal. Approval that you should move forward with this. I don't want it to stand that it's either yes we approve or no we don't. At this time, I'm thrilled. I think you should move forward if that's what you think is best. But I'm uncomfortable with taking a vote.
Jen?
Well, thank you again. I see this as a real valuable possibility for future communication statewide. To me, it builds up the invitation to everybody across the state to share what they're doing and what they're thinking, and whether that involves best practices, whether it's an invite, sort of a call out for give us some ideas. I appreciate it. I want to thank you because I think it has caused some thinking to be going on about what works with communication. You know, regardless of a 5-year clock or a term of an MOU, it doesn't matter. It's the idea of thinking ahead, being prepared, noticing and hearing what's going on in your community, constantly seeking out that input from the folks who are first affected. I think that's great. I still allude to, and I will always refer to, the local Aurora Public Schools Board of Education will be ultimately making the decision about the innovation plan. This is pre-thinking. This is pre-planning. I very much appreciate and thank you for that. I'm going to use that as a good lesson to keep in mind about how important and how valuable it is to set the scene for folks and let them do their own thinking and come to a conclusion. So, thanks.
Pass, thank you.
Angelica?
I'm willing to make a motion, but I don't know that we have. Yet. Oh, you haven't finished yet. Okay, go ahead.
So you don't have a comment other than the motion?
Yeah, I don't. The motion doesn't do anything.
No,
so.
I would just like to say I really appreciate your work. I appreciate what you're undertaking. I encourage you to go ahead, but understand that you may not feel real comfortable in doing that. We've been asking you for 5 years to do that, and now we're in a big discussion about whether you should or not. I hope you will. I hope you will go ahead. I don't think that anybody's going to show up in a year or so and tell you shouldn't do this, but, you know, I can't make any promises. Really appreciate the presentation, appreciate the work you've done, appreciate the problems. I mean, you've got an immense problem there to solve, and I think you've made great strides to starting to solve it, and I would like to see you do that. But, you know, that at this point is totally up to you. So, Angelica, you wanted to make a motion?
Well, I'm happy to, unless the board says they really don't want any kind of a motion today. Is that the wish of the board?
Well, if you make a motion and they vote no, then they don't want a motion.
All right. I move to support the direction Aurora Public Schools is moving toward with regard to their MOU concerning their accountability status for several schools, and to direct staff to move forward with completing the process of reviewing the Aurora plans so that a formal recommendation will be ready for the August 2015 State Board meeting.
That's a proper motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Jane? Please call the roll.
Steve Durham.
Just take a moment to explain it. I'll vote yes, but I think when we get down to the specifics next month, I think any agreement that we might consider accepting would have to have pretty strong terms of agreement and stop loss provisions so that we don't become, our hands aren't tied if this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We have a free year coming up with the clock being stopped, so it does give you an opportunity, hopefully, to work through some of these problems. So I'll vote yes at the moment.
Okay. Dr. Flores?
Yes.
Jane Goff?
Yes.
Pam Masnak?
No.
Marcia Neal?
I have to add to Steve's comment there that, oh, never mind. I'll just vote yes. I probably shouldn't say
Dr.
that.
Dr. Sheffel?
And I'd like to make a comment before my vote, too. I would vote no only because I feel like I would need to see a lot of input from the community and the parents as far as what you're really doing. I mean, I appreciate the documents we have, but I find them, they're very vague, and I feel like they're intellectual documents. But when you look at the real people problems in the school, people that I hear from, it's very dire. And I would want to know that things were very specifically being addressed. It sounds like you've hired a good person from NYU. That's great. But, you know, the parents and the kids and the safety issues, and it's dire. So I guess I would vote no only because I don't want to vote for something that I don't understand. I mean, I see the language. It's very vague to me, but I appreciate the work you're doing. So no.
And Dr. Schroeder.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Neal, and thank you, Board, for this. We understand this is a step. This is, Dr. Schroeder called it a sequence, and certainly as we get to the process of the actual design and plan, all those details will come together. That's just not where we are yet in the process, but we understand that. And if I can take a brief moment of personal privilege, I believe this will be my last opportunity to publicly thank Commissioner Hammond for his time and his service. We were colleagues for a while in the administration. We've been colleagues in various formats when I was in higher ed and he was here, and now I don't know what we are. I don't think we're opponents, but we're something else. But he has always presented himself as a professional on behalf of this department and this board, and he and his staff, even at times where we have disagreed, we have disagreed openly and honestly and with the end to make things better for the kids in Colorado. When the times when the department was wrong, they have called and said we were wrong, and that we wanted to work together to make things better. Times when we were wrong, they have called and said, Rico, you're wrong, and we've tried to come together and work around these things. And so we appreciate that. We want to thank you for your service to the kids of Colorado.
Thank you.